Welcome, welcome, welcome back to According to His Purpose, a podcast that takes you on a journey of self-discovery and self-empowerment. I am your host, Nanny Renee, and I invite you to tune in as we unlock the secrets to a life filled with passion, purpose, and love. This podcast is for any and everyone that is ready to break free from the chains of society, expectations, and embrace your true and authentic self. This season, we are diving into the depths of personal growth while daring to be different, because that's what this podcast is all about. We are not afraid to be different. So welcome back, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to season two of According to His Purpose podcast. I am so excited to be back. What have you guys been doing since the last season? I hope and my prayers are that everyone has been focusing on themselves, that you have been doing those hard things and releasing those people, places, and things that no longer serve you. I hope that you guys have realized that you only have one life to live and that you have to do what fits you, not what others require of you or what others think you should be doing. I'm praying that someone from since season one have gained a new level of confidence and courage to step out and be themselves and not worry about what others have to say about them wanting to change and about them wanting to become a better version of themselves. So welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everyone. And a special welcome to those of you that are new to my YouTube channel. From the time that we ended our last season to now, we have gained over 2,000 new subscribers. And I just want to say welcome. I thank you guys. And I pray that you will find something on this channel that will be a blessing to you. I'm so excited in this season. I feel like I'm starting this season as a new, like I have already discovered a different version of myself. Sometimes life can do that to you. You know, some things you go through in life and it'll change you, you know. And if for those of you that did listen to the final episode last season, you will remember that I shared with you how, you know, I had lost my job of 10 years. And so that was definitely a major change in my life. So I had to adjust to my new normal. And I love my new normal, but my new normal required me to be more consistent, to be more focused, to be more dedicated, to be more mature, to walk into the life that I definitely want for myself. Like I am definitely using this as an opportunity for better, for me to be able to actually live a life that's good to my soul. And a lot of times, you know, we play it safe and we find ourselves in situation and doing things just for the money or just for the security. And, you know, we are neglecting our souls. So even from that moment of the last episode, when I share that with you guys, there's been other things that has happened, such as me getting COVID. Even after that, we had like a whole month of hard storms here where I live, and my home ended up having storm damage. So my bedroom ceiling caved in. Like, it was crazy. I have been going through some things, but it has not affected me like it probably would have a year ago. So, you know, I got basically my bedroom's renovated, it's new, got a new roof on the house and all that good stuff. But so, you know, those situations, I'm learning to look at situations in life as, you know what, it's just life. I'm living. Nobody said that everything would be easy or be perfect. And so I was proud of myself because I feel like a lot of the things that we talked about in last season helped me to understand how to react and how to deal with the situations that I was faced with. So I didn't lose it. You know, I played it cool. I had to sleep on my couch for 2 weeks. But other than that, you know, I knew that what looked like a setback was a setup for more and a setup for greater. So continue to pray for me as I continue to pray for each and every one of you as we move forward in continuing to discover a new and better version of ourselves, continuing to grow, continuing to be who God has created us to be and not affected by the things of this world and the hurt and the pain of our past. One thing that I told myself, and I want to share with you guys before I jump into this topic, I no longer look at myself from the past. I don't even look at myself from the present. I keep my mind stayed on the vision and what's coming forward and what I believe that God says about me, the person that God showed me, the visions that God showed me. When I look at myself, that's who I see. I don't see the person that have went through the pain and been through the hurt and all of that. And so I pray the same thing for each and every one of you. So I want to go ahead and just jump into this topic because this is going to be a good one. And yeah, this is something that I have personally experienced. And also I've talked to others. I've interviewed people about this, had conversations with those that consider themselves to be the prodigal child or prodigal daughter, prodigal sons. And so for those of you that's not familiar with the term prodigal, I looked it up in the dictionary, in the Oxford Dictionary. It states a prodigal is a person who spends money recklessly, someone that spends money or resources freely. So in the Bible, in the book of Luke, there's a parable that's told about the prodigal son. And it does, you know, discuss how, you know, he wanted his inheritance earlier than his father was ready to give it to him. And so his father, he asked for it and his father did not fight him. He gave it to him. He split it up and he gave it to him. And so what happened was he went into the world and he basically spent his money recklessly. And so that's why he's called the prodigal son. When we talk about the prodigal son in modern day time, usually we're referring to those people that grew up in the church that, you know, was raised in a Christian with a Christian background, but got into the world, not so much spending money recklessly, but maybe perhaps living recklessly. So when they come back, it's like you're coming back to Christ. You're rededicating your life back to Christ. No longer be what the world has made you. You realize who you are, whose you are, and you come back to the Father to live for God and to live the Christian way that He requires for us to live. So that's how we can compare the word prodigal to the story in the Bible. And so for those of you that's interested in reading the story for yourself, it is found in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, starting at verse 11. So I'm not going to read all of this because basically I explained what the story is about. And so there are a few scriptures that I will point out as I go through, this topic. The title of this podcast is why is it that prodigal children are coming home, but not wanting to stay in the house? And so when I say that, what I mean is, why is it that so many people are realizing that, hey, my ways are not God ways. The things that I've done, you know, perhaps they've messed up their life. Perhaps they've been through a lot of tragedy. They've been through hurt. They've been through abuse, living in the world, not really living for God, not being a dedicated Christian where they're serving Christ. And they realize, hey, the only remedy for me to get my life the way that I need it to be, it is to get back to God, get back to my first love. And so I want to come back. And so when I say not wanting to stay in the house, what I am referring to is not wanting to be in church like every week, not wanting to have a membership with the body of Christ, like not wanting to be in the church. And now one thing before I get started, this is not to bash the church, because for me, I feel that the church is necessary. I know that the church is necessary. It is a body of believers that come together to grow, to learn. The church has been good to me. I've learned a lot in the church. I've learned a lot about myself, about my purpose in the church. So this isn't to bash the church, but this is to just talk about where we're at right now, because at the end of the day, we are not our parents. We are not our ancestors. We are not even living in the same type of world right now. We are living in a world that looks so different than it really did 20 years ago. And that's a whole nother topic right there. And it's something we might discuss later. Who knows? But when I talk about prodigal children not wanting to stay in the house, I feel that there's certain reasons why. So when the Bible talks about the prodigal son, it starts off and it talks about how he squandered his wealth. It literally states he squandered his wealth in wild living. And this is the NIV version. And it also talks about how he realized that, you know, his father's servants are living better than him. Like, he don't have to live that way. He don't have to be, this does not have to be his life. And so that's for many of the modern day prodigal children. They come to their senses. They have that moment where they say, you know what? I don't have to be out here living like this. I don't have to endure this pain. I don't have to endure this abuse. I don't have to hold on to certain people because, you know, to think that they're my lifeline when I am a child of God. And God owns everything and nothing is too hard for God. And so in realize I've been accepting less than God's best for me. I need to go back to where I need to get back to my father. Chapter 17 says, when he came to his senses, ready to surrender over because he remembered. So then the story goes on to tell how he came home to his father, telling his father he's not worthy. He sinned against him. And his father had compassion for him. His father did not make him feel low. His father did not talk about his past or where he came from or made him feel bad for the decisions that he made. He welcomed him with open arms. He's been waiting for him to come back. And so the same way with God, God is always looking for a willing heart. He's always looking for a willing vessel. And so now he goes home and, you know, his father's excited. He throws a big feast for him. And then you have the older brother that never left. And he's there. Now he's looking like, hey, why is he getting all this attention? What's really going on? Why are you throwing a party for him? I've always been here. I've never left you. You've never thrown a party for me. So why is he getting all this special attention? The oldest son, he goes and he says he went to spend all his money on wild prostitutes. Now, the Bible never said anything about prostitutes, but this is what the brother said. So what happened was, what the brother did was he made an assumption against his brother. He knew a little bit. He didn't know all the details. It didn't say that he went and talked to his brother and his brother told him this. He made an assumption based off of where he knew that his brother had came from. The same way that you see it happens now. A lot of times people come back into the church and those that have never left, those who have not really truly been in the world, they might have tried to dibble and dabble and do a little something here and there, but they haven't really been about that life. They don't really understand what you've been through, what you're going through, or what you've done out there. But assumptions will be made. And a lot of times people that come back into the church that have, you know, lived a life away from it, you know, some of their ways, you could probably tell that they was a little worldly. They might even smell like it. They might even look like it. But at the end of the day, they're still God's. And so they're coming in. And so now you have the clash of perspectives because you have the brother perspective that he's thinking like very low and he's putting all these assumptions on his other brother, on his brother. He's making up assumptions about his brother. Then you have the brother that's like, I don't want no smoke. I'm not here for no problems. I'm just here because I'm grateful that I have been accepted back into the house. And I just want to be whatever it is that my father needs me to be. We see that today. We see people come back into the church and, you know, if you're not automatically like coming in with a family or something like that, and people don't know anything about you, they don't know where you came from, they don't know what you've been doing. A lot of times people do make assumptions. Just like the brother, they don't go and talk to you and figure out who you are. They will start to create false narratives. Sometimes when people, I had a pastor tell me once, when people don't know what to do with you, then they either don't do nothing or they'll make up some. When people don't know who you truly are and you're not a person that's trying to explain yourself and you're focused, you're laser focused, trying to just focus on what it is that God wants you to do. A lot of times people will make up false narratives. And I'm not saying this happens all the time, but like I said, I've talked to different people and these are some of the things that was shared with me. So people feel like, okay, because I'm different, you know, I came in and I was still worldly the way that I talk, the way that I walk, the way that I act, the way that I dress. I didn't really have church clothes. I had club clothes and I came in and I felt like people was making assumptions of me. I felt like people shunned me, like people treated me a certain way. And so, you know, this is something that don't want to be talked about. A lot of times people try to avoid talking about this, but it's happening. It has happened. It's facts. It's reality. So that's one of the reasons. And then another reason that I feel that prodigal children are coming home, but not wanting to stay in the church, not wanting to, you know, participate and come in and join and serve and work in ministry and do things like that. When you come in and you have a willing heart to be whatever God wants you to be, God will use you in ways that you didn't even know that you could be used. He will anoint you to do things that you did not even know that you could do. He will elevate you. He will put you in positions that you've never asked for. Those that have eyes can see when someone is truly anointed to do the work of the Lord. And I feel like those are the people that truly need to be protected, because there's people that's wanting to do what they're doing. But God chooses who he wants. He calls who he wants. And so you have people on the outside looking in, perhaps wanting those positions, perhaps wanting that title. Maybe they've been wanting it all their lives, you know, especially those that's never left, that's seen great auntie and uncle and mom and dad doing certain things. And they say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. Some people feel like, okay, well, if I get certain positions and titles, then I'll get a certain level of respect. You know, and so they see maybe how the leaders are treated and they want to get in that position, not so much that they want to please God, but because, you know, for their own self-gratification, for their own reasons. And a lot of times we see that so often where people want to be successful and they want to lead and they want to do things, and it's not for the right reasons, to where when you do find someone that is doing it for the right reason, they just truly have a desire in their heart to please God, it often comes across as strange. When you truly have the heart to do something and move forward and do and be what God's called you to be, and that's the only reason you want to do it, the only reason you're looking for your purpose to align up with the will of God, like, that's strange, because, you know, so many people are doing things for the wrong reasons. And we see this often. We even see people starting churches and things for financial reasons or just for the power, and saying that God's called them. A lot of people want titles, positions, and things like that, to where it's like, okay, well, if I get this, then, you know, I'll be a better person, or I'll be respected. Like, that's the lie that they're telling themselves because of the lack of self-love and the lack of knowledge of who they are. And when you know who you are, you know there's no title, there's no money or anything that can make you whole on the inside. You know, you have to love yourself for who you are and just understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so a lot of times this happens. And I feel like this also happens is because, you know, at the end of the day, for those that have never left, like the brother in the story, a lot of times you forget the end purpose. Sometimes things become routine. Sometimes going to church every week, it becomes a routine to where you tune out the pastor. People be on Facebook in the churches. Sometimes you're not even hearing what the pastor's saying. So that's why you can get jealous behind something that somebody's doing, because the pastor's telling you every other week that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's telling you that you are royalty. He's telling you that nothing's too hard for God. He's telling you that God knows the plans for your life. He's telling you all of these good scriptures, and he's breaking these stories down to you, but it's going over your head because your mind is in a different place. You've gotten comfortable. And so when you have someone coming in and all you want to do is serve God and be whatever God wants you to do, and you have to deal with the backlash or, you know, the false narratives or, you know, people making you feel like they don't like you because, you know, you're doing something that they probably want to do, or they don't understand why you continue to get this favor. God shows favor to who he wants. And remember, God sees the heart. And we have to remember that God sees the heart. On to the third reason that I feel a lot of times that, you know, the prodigal children of today's time are not wanting to stay in the church. You have to remember, prodigal children are coming back. You don't know what they've dealt with. There's a desperation to be whole, to be healed. A lot of people are coming back, and some people have been strung out on drugs. Some people have been in abusive relationships. Some people have lived in such poverty to where, you know, they have, you know, the negative mindsets is just like consuming them. They don't see more for themselves. They no longer believe in more for themselves, but they are trusting God with their heart. They're trusting God with their mind, and they're going into the churches. And some of the things that they're seeing is making them doubtful, like, hey, is this the route that I need to go? And a lot of times, a lot of traditional things are still going on. And tradition is good, But also, I feel that tradition has to be evaluated from time to time. And one thing that people have to understand, when you're in the church and you have certain positions and you have certain titles, lay members are looking at you. They're watching you. They're watching your ways. They're watching if you speak to them when you walk past them. They're watching how you treat them if you see them on the outside of the church. If you even acknowledge them, they're looking at the little kitty catty things that people do because they've gotten so comfortable. Like I said, I've heard people personally, so this is nothing that I'm making up, brag about how they laugh at people in church, about how they're being petty and things like that. And it's cute for you, but you have to think about that person that's receiving it on the other end. And so when you have a generation of people that right now, a lot of tradition is being questioned. That's why you have people not even coming back to Christianity. They're actually looking at the culture of generation of people that's been in poverty. They're looking at family members that's been sold out going to the church all of their lives, from a little kid to the time they're old on a cane, and how they're still gossiping and how they're still messy and how they will still cuss you out like it's nothing. And when you're not playing with your life and you're truly serious about healing and being whole and becoming something new, that scares you, because that's something you don't want to become. So they also see people that brag about titles, and I'm evangelist this, and I'm apostle this, and I'm this, that, and the other. But they're not, their lives does not add up to those titles. They forget that there's a mantle placed in front of you when you do accept those positions, when you do accept those titles. Second Corinthians, when Paul wrote the letter to the church, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Prodigal children are like, okay, well, yeah, I haven't been in Christ much, you know, because I kind of been in the world. So I'm not a new creature. I'm trying to be a new creature. I got old things that need to be passed away, and I am ready for the new things. What I'm seeing is, like, when does this happen? Because this person has never left. This person has been in Christ, claimed to have been in Christ all their lives. But some of these ways look nothing like him. And so I think people forget that, you know, it's real. People are really looking at you and they're watching you and they're looking like, okay, well, the Bible says test a tree by its fruit. You know, the only thing that you really have in this world sometimes is your word and your name. And so you have to honor that with integrity. You have to honor that with the proper morals. You know, they say the church is like a hospital. And so when you go to the hospital, you eventually start having surgery, you start taking medication, and you get better and you leave or you die. And so if you're seeing people in the church and you're getting the medicine because the pastor's preaching every Sunday, preaching her little heart out. Every Wednesday, you're getting the medication, you're having the surgeries, churches are putting together programs, prayer services, like everything you need in the church is there. Trust me, I know for myself, when I went to the church, everything I needed to learn to become a minister, it was there, it was available. And you would see some people benefit from it and some people not, because it goes back to the heart. And that's where, you know, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I used to use that as something to motivate people. But what I learned after researching this scripture a little more deeper, this is like a warning. I found this to be like a warning from God to say, hey, don't trust everybody. Everything that looked good on the outside is not good on the inside. At the end of the day, regardless of what a person says on the outside, you know, what a person is saying or how they look, at the end of the day, what they're thinking in their heart is who they truly are. So that's just like relationships. You can have somebody say they love you, but in their hearts, they loving other people. They're doing other things. They don't really have that respect for you. That's what it is. We got to quit trying to make something that's not. And that's what it is. So the same thing with people. And same thing when you go into the body of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ is not, you know, don't have the right heart, don't have the right motives. And so they may portray, they may look a certain way, they may dress a certain way, they may pray a certain way, they may do everything and be there consistently all the time. They may even, you know, got to the point where people trust them and gave them positions and titles. But what is their heart like? And once you start to interact with people enough, you will be able to truly see if a person is truly, if their heart is truly like Christ, or if there are some different motives there. And so that's what the Bible tells us. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And people start to realize, you know what? Like, hey, this has been going on for a long time. This has been going on for a long time. And people hate to talk about church hurt, but at the end of the day, there's people that come in looking to be whole, looking to be healed, and they deal with things they were not expecting to deal with. And it makes them not want to be a part of it. It's easier. And so, yes, definitely we will be praying for the prodigal children, because I believe the church is necessary. And we will be praying for them to have the strength and maybe to understand, because people say, well, you got to understand that, you know, this is just where it is. Nobody's perfect. Granted, you're right. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But at the same time, people right now, with all that's going on in this world, people just want to be at peace. It's such a desperation right now to be at peace and to be whole. And for those of us that have been raised up in the church, we understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want it. We want him. We want to be whatever he needs us to be. And we want to come home. We don't want nothing. We don't have to have the titles. We just want to come home and be able to serve and worship God and feel that love and feel that peace. So it's like we got to come to an understanding. And I think people have to realize, those brothers and sisters that's never left, that you are being watched, because, you know, you're an example. You're looked at as an example, regardless if you want to or not. The desperation to be at peace in your mind and to be whole is so strong, to where people are, and this is the final reason why some are not staying in the house. They are looking for different avenues. I'm not saying that this is right, y'all. I'm just speaking truth. People are now looking for other avenues. Y'all know I talk about meditation because I feel like that's just something that we really didn't talk. We really don't discuss a lot within the church, but it has helped me personally. But when I meditate, I only meditate for my mind. Like, I think about Christ. I try to meditate on the scriptures or focus on my breathing. I'm not doing like the meditation like, you know, some of the other religions do. And so a lot of people are seeking other religions because they're looking like, well, you know what? The Muslims, they seem to be more dedicated to the Quran and actually living and focused on it. And we see it. We see it. And then they start looking at other cultures and start looking at other religions. And some of them start to dibble and dabble in it. I know some people that was in the church and now they reading tarot cards. For whatever reason. Now, I'm not blaming this on those that never left, but I do want those that have never left, those that have been dedicated all their life, to understand that you do have a responsibility. There is a mantle on you. There is responsibility that I feel that God requires you to be an example. It says that they will know that you are mine by the way that you love one another. So they're seeing it. People that come to church, they're seeing it. I have had people, a lot of what I've talked about today, I have literally heard this come out of people's mouths on how they don't feel comfortable, or they feel left out, or they feel a certain way if they don't look a certain way, or if they don't do this or do that, or be cool with certain people within the church, like they don't fit in. This is the reality, you know, and I know a lot of people's not going to like me talking about this, but, you know, it's reality. People are starting to dibble and dabble to other things and trying to find that peace so desperately because they want it. Now they're starting to think, well, dang, you know, these people been with, you know, people been with Jesus all their life and talk about Jesus, but some of them are mean, some of them are nasty, some of them are fearful. Do I want to be this? Do I want to continue to dedicate my time weekly to this? If this might be so, I might become that. Who knows? Like I said, it becomes scary to them. And so, yeah, those are some of the reasons why. And then you guys, you see it. You see a lot of people going to the Black Israelites and, you know, different things. And a lot of people are burning sage, and a lot of people that's burning sage, they know they grew up in the church being taught about Jesus Christ. Now they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now they don't believe that Jesus Christ died on their sins after they spoke it out of their mouths and believed it in their heart at one time. And there's something that's happening to make them feel that way. And so, you know, they want that. They want that. And so, yeah, I know a lot of people's not going to like this, but you know, that's the thing. I'm not doing anything for anybody but for God. And maybe this is a wake up call. We have to actually look and be honest. Think about me. I know God did not give me the spirit of fear. And so for whatever reason, I felt the need to talk about this topic. And like I said, we might do part two. I really want to talk about what happens when that prodigal child leaves. Are they being prayed for? I've heard people say they leave the church and people stop talking to them. I might have to have a second part two of this. And so that does not look like Christ, right? You don't get to judge who's who. And a lot of times tradition has messed up people's head. They have messed up people's head to where God can't even use you because you're so traditional. And you are so, some people are scared to deal with certain people because of other people. You have that too. You have little groups, you have little cliques, regardless of what people want to say, and you could see it. And so if someone in your little circle is not okay with this person, now you're not okay with that person. None of that is God, and it has to stop. It has to stop. We have to do better as Christians, as representing the Father, whether we like the people or not, whether we agree with the people or their lifestyle. We have the duty, God says, to love. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And there is a nerve called the vagus nerve that goes from the heart to the brain. And with the vagus nerve, and that's where you see the term thinketh with his heart. How can a person think with their heart? Because it sends signals to the brain. And so on how to feel. So certain, you know, environments you're in, certain things you're dealing with, if your heart is broken, it sends signals to the brain. And that's why you find yourself being depressed and sad like that. And so when your heart is glad, when your heart feels love, it sends signals to the brain. And that's when you see people being able to be their best selves and being able to walk in happiness, because the heart, a healthy heart, creates a healthy mind. So that's why the goal is to truly have a heart like Christ. So I hope that this has been a blessing to you guys. I've done what I had to do here today, and I've spoken my truth. I've spoken what I feel that God has put on my heart, and I hope that I have delivered it the way that he wanted me to deliver it. And if he's pleased, that's all that matters. I thank you guys for tuning in to episode 9. Until next time.